Jeff Steinzer, national and presidential expert, noted author. You can find his books over at Next Chapter Books, totallyiowa.com. Iowa Business Report is the weekly business show he does down in Iowa. And he joins us from KXEL, which gives us the Iowa Politics Report. Hi, Jeff.
I love that in the last segment when you said, I'm Catholic. No, they're not happy about it either. Did I do that? That's outstanding. Nicely done on your part.
Oh, that's a bitter pill. I want to get to the convention that's going on, if you want to call it what it is. But I have to ask you something in the realm of that first day. Okay, so you and I have talked conventions for many years. The first decades indeed.
Yes.
In the first year, the first day of your convention, it really sets the tone. You don't want to make any bad headlines. You don't want, and I don't think Clint Eastwood was talking on the first day when he started talking to an empty chair. But you know, you don't want that moment on your first day, because then basically it's a reclamation project getting towards the end. That first day was wild, and it namely was Trump Jr. and Kimberly's speeches. I mean, Kimberly's speech, I don't know who greenlit that. I mean, there's a lot of people that are saying, were they high on cocaine? They kind of look like, and this is just as an observation, she and Trump Jr. look like they were high on cocaine the entire time. Like it was watching Seth Rogen and James Franco trying to do speeches in a movie, for God's sakes. I mean, there really was this weird element to it. And I just said to myself, did they just lose the convention on the first day? And I want to get your thoughts. I mean, we'll talk about what happened last night, but I want to get your thoughts on what your take was on that first day, because the fact they ended, 8 minutes, 9 minutes early, which allowed prime time analysis of what happened. I mean, there was a lot of bad things that went on with that first night.
I honestly did not see her because I had a small semblance of a life. And so I did not watch her. I did hear most of his. And he was obviously the designated attack dog. And that allowed Nikki Haley and Tim Scott to then be kinder, gentler. I found it interesting how they toggled. Okay, well, let's roll this back just a little bit.
Okay.
The people who are putting this on, what's on their resume? They worked with then TV star Trump on The Apprentice. They're making a TV show.
Yes.
Now, keep in mind, obviously the Democrats did that to some degree the week before by having people like Julia Louis-Dreyfus and Eva Longoria host, quote unquote. I mean, because what do? You don't have an audience. You don't have the big podium.
If I can interject here, I mean, there you do lose the convention feel, yes. But what you gain is the ability to do just that. You have, whether – and not just 2 hours, really 3 hours of polished material you're sending. I mean, the guy that they got – the guy that produced the Democrats wasn't he the guy that did the Oscars or did one of the award shows? I mean, you bring in that guy. You have everything set up. Camera to here. It gives you an opportunity, which generally these conventions generally don't give you.
And the difference to me – and again, this is just TV – side of it.
Okay.
The Republicans, it looked much more like these are people who have staged television. However, they did not use the art of transition very well, because you've got, and you saw it again last night.
Yeah.
You know, they come out at the, they walk to the podium and then they talk and they get done and they stand awkwardly there for 15 seconds while the camera pans back. And then sometimes they'd cut to another identical scene. I mean, you need a buffer in between these things so that the audience can't tell which is live and which is taped. I mean, it with their experience, in other words, I guess what I'm getting at is with their experience, it had a higher polish, but much more uneven flow. And again, if you're watching it on a screen, I don't care what the screen is, your television box, your computer box, whatever, you need flow on these things, and they have under-delivered with regard to that. I mean, without any doubt. And to me, the headline for the first night, I mean, some of this is expectations. You know that Trump Jr. and Kimberly Guilfoyle, they are a couple. They are going to be the attack dogs. They're going to be the bad cops. That's the role. Just like last night, Junior, Eric, was the attack dog, okay? The first night, I don't know what else you would call it. We've talked about this. But what was fascinating about the first night was the battle of South Carolinians. Here's Nikki Haley, obviously with her opening speech for the 2024 campaign. Here's Tim Scott with his opening speech of the 2024 campaign.
Yeah.
And, you know, you go back in the Democrats over the course of 30-some years, back when, you know, you were a young man in shorty pants, but Mario Cuomo just jumped to national attention through a speech, but not because he was running for anything. An Illinois senator named Barack Obama captured the national attention, not because he was running for anything. Contrast that by these two who are basically saying, I absolutely will speak and I absolutely will check the box on things I need to do in order to be a viable candidate in 4 years.
Well, and you're spot on there. And it's really interesting because it's such a gamble, because if Trump – right now, in a lot of the polls, you look at 538, they're showing electoral vote. They're showing a pretty substantial Democratic victory. That being said, we have to wait till what happens. But if it is a wipeout, a lot of people are going to be turning their back on Trump and trying to find some new footing underneath them in the Republican Party. That might end up hurting them at that point. But you, if I can, I want to bring up something you just said, which I thought was a very good statement, which is on Monday, okay, they had a few African-American speakers, which they you know, when you talk about these nights and these theme nights, you know, you want to put forward an idea. And I think that to a point was, you know, hey, Trump's not really racist was the thing. I mean, look, there are black people here that like him. And and so that was kind of – there was a kind of theme, but you're right. And by the way, Kimberly Guilfoyle, that speech was straight out of, hey – Indiana Jones just took my medallion. Guards, grab him. I mean, it really was of that kind of magnitude. But
well, you know, when she left Fox, or let me rephrase that, when she was pushed out of Fox,
yes,
I mean, she'd already started creating the image for herself that she now has. You know, so I mean, this is not. I guess this is the thing. I'm not surprised. That's the other thing. It's always expectations. I expect the Trump kids to go ballistic on everybody who is assailing their dad's character. So I'm not surprised when it happens.
Mm-hmm.
And she's as close to a kid because she's almost an in-law.
Well, and I don't – no, I'm not going to go down that road. No, okay. So the – but okay. So that's the first night. So the theme nights worked. And the Democrats did very well with holding to a theme each night. Last night's – performance, that was the one thing. It was just sort of like, well, I'm going to tell you why I'm mad at the Democrats right now. And then here's something else, completely different angle. I'm going to tell you. If there was a theme, which is generally the theme of all conventions, is why the other party's bad, that's fine. But there wasn't – you talked about how there was a disjointed feel. Last night really felt disjointed. And it was just sort of like, okay, are you guys going to take a lane on this, or is it just going to be, you know, I'm an anti-abortion person. I'm going to attack him for this. I'm basically – I don't like cancel culture. I'm going to attack him for this. You know, police in the streets, I'm going to attack him for this. I mean, there really didn't seem to be – any kind of flow. And I think that at the end of the last night is, once again, it wasn't as bad as the Monday night, but it just it was like, okay, this was just a, you know, for lack of a better term, you know, a complain festival.
I always keep track to see how long they go over. You know, like, for example,
yeah,
the first night of the Democrat convention was supposed to be done by 10 o'clock. It was 10:08.
Yes.
Central.
Yeah.
Because I always like to say, okay, so then the next party, whoever the party is in the second week, is keeping score because they want to make sure they go over by the same amount. To fall short the first night.
That
and
was,
you know,
wild.
Each network, and cable is different, but the broadcast networks, you know, they're going to take some time even if it runs over. But to your point, they're going to take less time when it runs over. But when you're saying, here is your built-in 8 minutes – to, you know, grab a bat and start hitting a bag, ooh, I'm not sure, you know, that didn't time out very well. And so then, to me, they overcompensated yesterday by saying, well, you know, we finished 8 minutes early. My gosh, we better go 15 minutes long. Not if all you're doing is filling, and a lot of last night felt like filling.
Yeah, it did.
And that's even, Matt, when they took out a speaker, they pulled a tape because the person who was going to speak had just been, and I believe Latino, if I'm remembering the story, but had been seen forwarding tweets, retweeting anti-Semitic theories about how Jews were going to take over the world. It's like, well, okay, so they even had to hold the schedule and went long. Most of the time, you got a four-night convention. People tune in the first night because it's new. They sort of falter on the second night. They sort of come back the third night, especially if it's a big name like a former president or a vice presidential running mate. And then, of course, culminating with the presidential acceptance on the fourth night. So the fact that the material was not as good on the second night, that's always the down night.
Yeah.
But again, if you're trying to build momentum and you're saying we have an optimistic attitude, we are the positive party, and we are building with our guy going to be on every single night, well, then you don't want to have that pothole, if you will. And and again, it was it just didn't flow.
Well, and the showcase showdown thing that he was doing where, okay, we're going to swear in some American citizens. I got a pardon here. Do you have a paper clip in your purse? You know, that sort of thing. You know, I understand what he was trying to do, but it came off as comical. It's like, okay, you don't treat the presidency like that. And you just don't. I mean, and I understand. I mean, you could have pardoned someone during the day and then had him come speak that night. That would have been perfectly fine. But it was that kind of, you know, you're dressed as a robot, I see. Well, have I got some, you know, taxpayer-funded tax reserve for you? Here you go. You know, it was really kind of that. Yeah, there just was a broken night.
I was going to say, if Monty Hall were still alive, I wouldn't have been surprised to see him come out. But then I realized they're still doing the show with a different host. So that was really a bad example. But the point, yeah, it just wasn't good television. Mm-hmm. See, again, you've got a president who says, you know, again, hey, I know how to do this stuff. You know, I ran The Apprentice, blah, blah, blah. And it just didn't have the flow that you would have expected. And I have no idea what you're going to get tonight.
Oh,
I mean, help me with this. Why was Mike Pence in Kentucky? Because he knew how to get there from Indiana?
Well,
yes, I know it's Abraham Lincoln, blah, blah. Well, come on.
It's a few bridges. Well, I mean, if you're going to do Lincoln, go to Illinois, where the guy, he's going down to Kentucky for McConnell. That's why. But no, it's, you know, if it'll be interesting if they can write this ship with Johnny Excitement, Mike Pence. But as well, I want to actually get your thoughts here because I don't know historically a Category 4 hurricane hitting basically on the last two nights of the convention. I've never heard about that. We'll talk about that impact as well. Jeff Stein joining us. Let's take a break right now. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. Jeff Stein joining us, talking about the Republican convention. Jeff, to your knowledge, I mean, I guess it's not too unreasonable. I mean, there could have been a natural disaster. I mean, hurricanes happened in late August. Have we ever had a case where there's been a major natural disaster going on to, you know, kind of take the headlines away from a convention?
Sure. 2008.
Okay.
John McCain and Sarah Palin canceled the first night of their convention because of Hurricane Gustav.
That's right.
New Orleans. And so they were then seen talking to government officials. And I believe that was the year that George W. Bush, because of the hurricane, did not go to the convention. Not like he wanted to go to McCain's convention anyway. That's a whole different issue. And then in 2012, the RNC it's just a Republican thing, apparently. The RNC was supposed to be in Tampa, and they were going to get Tropical Storm Isaac, and so they then had to delay the convention until Tuesday. So it's not uncommon. But notice in those situations, we're not talking about a Cat 4, right?
Yeah.
And having it hit as the president is intending to speak.
Well,
and that is exactly what you could have happened this time. So your point is well taken that it's certainly not normal.
Well, and I mean, it's in just the world we live in right now. California is burning. I mean, there is a massive natural disaster out there. They don't care. It's California. You have Kenosha, Wisconsin. This another case of racial, you know, violence. An officer murdering an African American man, and then the chaos that's ensued there. They can ignore that. That's the problems there. But this is their target area: Western Louisiana, Eastern Texas. That's about as red as it gets. And if you're a news network, stepping away from a different angle, if you're a news network, how do you cover this? Because you clearly have a very viable news story in Category 4, possibly doing an insane amount of damage. And once again, it still could hit Houston and Galveston. We don't know for sure yet. But how do you balance those out? I mean, because you know Trump's not going to cancel the convention.
Well, you know, given that the delegates aren't there. There are some sitting in Charlotte at what, card tables? I don't know. There's not a big thing. They've already done the delegate business. He was not going to speak to them in the room. He was going to speak from the White House. Is it beyond the realm of possibility for Trump to say, I'm going to postpone my acceptance until Sunday, Saturday night? I don't know. Pick some time where he thinks there's good TV viewing. Because it's a very different thing when the site of the speech is not in the path of the storm and where you don't have all these delegates who have to get a second day or a fifth day or whatever of a hotel reservation. I mean, you've got the Weather Service saying you could have storm surge that is not survivable.
Yeah.
When that came out today, I mean, all my meteorology friends, you know, they're all like, wait, we don't, that's not normal. I mean, they have even started evacuating television stations, like in Lake Charles. They're evacuating. TV stations don't evacuate, but they just know exactly how bad this potentially could be. So I could see him delay it if he thought he could leverage something positive from it, like look like he's on the job the day of the hurricane and not to have the split attention and then go pick a different primetime night and call it his acceptance. He's the one who's creating the TV show and using government facilities to do it. So why not just change it to a different night?
And here's the problem is that if the damage is as catastrophic as they're expecting, then Sunday is not going to work. And you're not going to want to put this off into next week. Now, is Trump callous enough to go down into the strike zone and try to do a speech down there where he talks about how I was the greatest president of all time, that sort of thing, in a crisis zone. He might try to do something like that. I'm going to guess his handlers would say no way. I don't know. It's a tough one.
And I see no way because you don't want people to associate you with the negative. And that's what the image would be, him with the negative, not him.
He gets upset about when a hurricane takes the camera away from him. That's the problem with the guy.
Well, that's why he might delay it. I mean, that's why I take your point that normally they would do something different. But, you know, if we know anything from 2020, it's not going according to form.
No, and he'll probably grab a hurricane map, draw with a Sharpie on it saying, it's going to miss the United States completely. We're fine. Because that's, you know, or try to nuke it. Or try to nuke it.
And then on the back of the map, he'll pardon somebody.
Yeah, pardon. And we got a kid who here has a battery in their purse. It's just crazy. This is – everything about this is crazy. Tonight, what is it? I mean, we only got about 40 seconds left. But Pence is doing – is it salute to military – salute to heroes? So I'm going to guess a lot of police stuff like that tonight. I don't know how that's going to play with Kenosha going on.
Well, speaking of play – the Bucks aren't playing. They didn't take the court in the playoff game because of Kenosha. That's the backdrop for tonight's convention.
Yeah, it's...
And the fact that you've got a 17-year-old from Illinois who's arrested for murdering two people up there last night? Yeah, that's the backdrop for this convention on a Law and Order night.
Well, this is not going well for them. Jeff Stein, once again, we'll spotlight this interview. I'll post the Iowa Politics Report later. Until tomorrow...